Blog Talk Radio.
What up? Welcome to Sankofa Radio, where we travel through the past, where we stop in the present, on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Ascari Donso, with my main man, Sonny Otto Ray Vaughn. And today, man, we're going to discuss American denial, man. We're going to discuss what it is going on in this country where the dominant culture just will not accept the reality of this situation when it comes to race relations. It's customary, you know, before we start every show, that I give a dedication. On this day, man, I want to give a dedication to the fallen ancestor, James Byrd, James Byrd Jr. He was killed by white supremacists in 1998. He was the victim of a hate crime. And what they did was they tied the brother up to a back of a pickup truck after they beat him. And he drove 3 miles with him on an asphalt road. And he actually lived through most of that. But what happened is the truck ended up making a sharp curve and it hit an edge of a culvert. And when it hit the culvert, it severed his right arm and his head. So it was a brutal death, you know what I'm saying? And the brother was killed because he was black, you know? So this was in 1998, some 16 years ago. But we just want to honor that brother by, you know, remembering him and all of the people throughout history who have been lynched, who just are unnoticed in the annals of history, people who have been victims of mob crimes, towns, neighborhoods, people convict least, the numerous, you know, hate crimes that happened on the greatest hate crime, which was slavery and on the plantations. You know, we just want to honor and respect the ancestors today and never let their souls go unnoticed. So picking up on the conversation, man, real fast, is my man Sonny Otto, is you here, bro? All right, Sonny Otto haven't joined us yet, but he should be joining us any second. I think where I'm going to start today is I'm going to start by kind of updating y'all, man. Okay, peace, son, that's what it is. I'm just in the process of updating the people on some recent crime statistics. These crime statistics come from FBI reports. This comes from an article written in January in the Amsterdam News publication. And it says that, you know, African Americans are victims of the majority of hate crimes in America. FBI statistics show 7,242 hate crimes were reported nationwide in 2013. Of those reported hate crimes involving racial bias, 66.5% involve crimes motivated by the offenders of anti-black bias. Now, there was a report recently placed on PBS News Hour, and it was an interview of the head of the Southern Poverty Law Center. She was discussing the increase in white supremacist hate groups from the year 2000. She said that there were actually 509 groups that they had recorded in 2000. This is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're responsible for tracking hate crimes and hate groups in America. So they said that there were 509 hate groups, white supremacist hate groups in America in 2000. They said since then, 2016, there are currently 937 hate groups. And when asked why is it that she felt like there was an increase in hate groups, white supremacist hate groups, she said from 2000, it was the first time that the national census, first identified that whites would be a minority in this country in 2050. Then you add the fact that in 2008, the president that's elected is an African-American, and the perception is, you know, blacks are taking over the country, along with the sensationalization of the immigration crisis, so to speak, as they call it. So basically what you have is people who weren't in hate groups, but for whatever reason still had fear of, you know, whites being taken out of power, finally feeling like they were in a position where they had to join a hate group, because you don't just join a hate group, right? There has to be some type of, you know, predisposition, you know what I mean? So you had to have thinking at some point in your life about, you know, white supremacy, whether it's conscious or unconscious, white supremacy and white supremacy notions and black inferiority notions. And so that leads me to my first question to my main man, Sonny Otto, today. Yo, bro, so I guess I'm going to ask you, man, straight up, man, direct question, man. Do you think most whites racist, man? You know, hearing all that, do you think most whites are racist?
You better believe it, buddy. Hey, and that's not good. That's not being, you know. Yeah, it's controversial, but it's true. Unfortunately, due to the education system. Finally, you know, educators have admitted, you know, that there is a Eurocentric theme where most of the history, most of all human accomplishments in America are broadcasted from the perspective that they have white achievements. You know, they undermine all of the African accomplishments, China's accomplishments, and any other race, you know, amongst the human family. So being that they're being bombarded with all of this white achievement and the undermining or the devaluing of black accomplishments, it creates that. It creates that unconscious notion of white superiority, you know. And that, and then you start going into the stereotypes, you know, from commercials and television, the imagery, and how these producers, you know, want these actors to portray these roles and act in a certain way. You know, it all feeds that stereotype and that white superiority mentality. So I wouldn't even say by default, because you even had senators, you know what I'm saying, like Kissinger back in the day. These guys actually set back and constructed how they wanted the education system to be based and how they wanted certain knowledge not to be installed in the education system, because they feared that black people would gain a certain confidence, a certain dignity about themselves and knowing about their own, or may even become radical rebellious once they find out, you know, some of the more great achievements of their own people. So I'm gonna say, so you had racists who was already in power who implemented an education system based on a racist mentality, you know. So they racist by default, you know. They're racist by default. And you can see it. Yes, sir. So if you pay attention to, like, when there's a riot, a so-called riot, when you have a social injustice and you have black people of community who begins to protest, you know, encountering that injustice, the news media, the white media, even blacks have gotten to it, because the teleprompter, they reading off the teleprompter, and it'll say vicious rioting, vicious animals, thugs looting, you know. But then they will show white people who may get rowdy after a game. I didn't like BCU, perfect example. BCU lost a couple of years ago. White people took to the streets, students burning down, vandalizing, busting car windows, flattening tires, busting store windows out, all on top of cars, all on the street lights. But they call them rowdy students, upset students. You know, so the whole terminology, they didn't call them vicious thugs, but they was doing the same thing that the black kids was doing from a social injustice. This wasn't even a social injustice. It was just a loss of a basketball game, you know. So the words they put out, you know what I'm saying, depicts black people as being one, as being negative, evil, you know, as a negative connotation. Their whites as being innocent, you know, just upset. So, yeah, racism still exists. You know, and it's an unconscious racism. And for some, it is conscious, you know, but there's definitely white Americans are racist by subconsciously. They've been subconsciously planted in them. And it only takes facts for them to open their eyes to see. And once they present it with them, those facts are true.
I think it's important to note when we with this discussion of American denial, exactly what denial is, because I don't want it to get lost on the people that denial, we're talking about a psychological issue. We're talking about a defense mechanism that's utilized to protect the ego. And so the question will come, the question would then have to be in analyzing American denial. What is it, you know, what cognition, what thoughts, what feelings, you know what I'm saying, are people trying to, you know, what are they trying to prevent from having to face? You know what I'm saying? What cognitive, you know, what is it about the ego that they're trying to protect? And I would say for the dominant culture, I think the root of American denial, more than anything, is the contradiction between so-called American values versus American behavior. And I think that when you think about historically, what America has done, whether you want to talk about what they've done to us specifically, which is the greatest crimes, you know, they've committed has been against the African-American, the black.
Right.
Just globally, you know what I'm saying? The contradiction between them being liberators, freedom fighters, you know, the architects of democracy and capitalism, free market economics, and then, you know, for them to repress, you know, black economic viability, you know what I'm saying? Black Wall Street, Rosewood, Wellington,
right.
North Carolina, Colfax, Louisiana, right. You know, these towns lost in history that there was black development and there was bombing, there was rapes and lynchings, and they systematically destroyed our ability to grow. When you think about when they talk about, you know, other countries, terrorism and things like that, but then you think about, you know, how it is they created conditions that produced terrorist behavior, that produced radical mindsets, drone attacks, stealing resources from countries that make people, put people in long-term systemic abject poverty, and then these people in desperate conditions turn to violence as the only solution. We're talking about people with low literacy rates. You know, so when you
right.
think about America's denial, I think at the core of their denial is the value system that America has versus the behavior that they display. And I think what it does is it makes them look at themselves, you know, when they have to deal with them facts, and it's an element of shame and guilt attached to that they don't want to have
True
to deal
indeed.
With. You know, right now, white America can be on a high horse. They can point the finger. They can say, look at them blacks over there. Or look at them Enzo. I don't want to say it, but, you know, that's how they feel. Look at them over there,
right.
you know, selling them drugs. But they don't want to talk about, you know, selling drugs. They drug dealers. They criminals. But they don't talk about the conditions. They don't talk about how BI was responsible for putting heroin in urban communities, black urban communities, in the 60s and 70s. You know what I'm saying? They don't talk
right.
about how the CIA was co-conspirators in the crack cocaine epidemic that Free Ray Ricky Ross didn't even know he was complicit in until he got out of prison. And he apologized for being complicit in, you know, the crack cocaine chemical biological warfare, you know what I'm saying, that was
right.
implemented on our people. So I think that's important to note, man. I want to go back to the question to you, though, man. I want to
get
your brain for a minute. You know what I'm saying? So what I want to know is what is it going to take, man, for these people to, you know, to kind of acknowledge the oppression that was inflicted on us as a Holocaust? You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's not what they seem to do. So what is it going to take to get them? And will they ever do it? You know what I mean? Do you think they ever look at what they did or what was inflicted on us as a Holocaust?
No, they won't. Maybe the younger generation, First and foremost, I want to say that was mega piece how you clarified, you know, the psychological aspects of denial, you know, and what denial is, and the root reasons as to why, you know, they're in that state of denial. That's great to know. To clarify dominant culture, because when we say dominant culture, instinctively we think about us. You know, I think about black people as a whole because, you know, we are dominant by nature. But, you know, from a sociological perspective, when we say a dominant culture, we talking about a particular group of people who have more wealth, prestige, status, and influence. And that would be, you know, the Europeans in America. And due to this dominance they have in wealth, prestige, due to, as we know, byproduct of slavery and exploitation and all type of trickery, it creates a hedge money. And a hedge money is when the particular thought or the values of this dominant social group is accepted by all people. So now, if we know that this dominant culture, should we say that the white people in America, white Americans, have this denial. This denial was then accepted by all the other cultures, to whereas when black people begin to speak about our own atrocities and struggles, it's rejected and it's flipped.
Peace, Sundiata. Okay, we lost Sundiata for the second, but I'm going to pick up on that, because what he's saying is, because the dominant culture has such a strong influence on the construction of institutions in this country. And when we're talking about institutions, we're talking about the business community, we're talking about the school system, we're talking about the family. Because they're able to shape our perception about what that is and get us to accept agreement as to how it is that we're going to behave in those particular institutions, then they are able to basically, they are basically able to influence our perception of racism, history, and so forth and so on. You back, bro. I'm sorry. I was just kind of cleaning up your point, but add on, man. Add on, bro.
True B. Pardon me. Pardon me. And as I was saying, so in creating this hedge money, everybody begins to accept the values and so-called norms of this particular group to where this widespread denial exists among all people to where when we begin to speak about the injustices, the social denial, even the present-day social injustices, our past is rejected and flipped and said that we are being reverse racist or we are holding on to hate. We are holding on to anger. And that goes back to what you're saying. That's all a part of that shame and guilt, you know, and not wanting to accept what they have done. And so as we go to now, then what is going to take? It's going to take humility. You know, that's when spiritual application comes in. And like Farrakhan said, you know, the only way the white man is going to change is if he bow down to Allah. I mean, whether you're religious or not, that can just mean bow down to your own consciousness, your righteous consciousness, you know. And until that happens, true fact, and until that happens, and if you still go, until that happens, they're going to remain in that state of denial. So what does that lead us, that lead the black people to utilize our own force and effort to make knowledge born, to create our own institutions, because they're going to remain in that state. As long as the institutions of education remain the same, then the white Americans going to remain in that state of denial. They're going to remain in that state of bootleg pride and supremacist concepts. They're going to deny. They're going to deny because the history is not exposing them to all of these truths, you see. So when they finally hear it as a natural reaction, they're like, "Oh no, that didn't happen. What are you talking?" You know, because they wasn't exposed to all that in their previous education and training. So, you know, for us, it's just going to take, us, the same way the Jews. The Jews didn't wait on the Germans to acknowledge their fault. The Jews just went hard and say, yeah, this was a Holocaust, you know, this would happen, this is what y'all did, you know what I'm saying, but this is where we at now, and that's the same thing black people in America have to do, you know, we have to pull ourselves up, we can't worry about whether they acknowledge it, they gonna acknowledge it once we continue to move in truth and build our own and create our own, you know.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is vital, man, in this respect, when you think about the justice system. We are talking about justice. When you think about the American justice system, you can't even get a case started, you know what I'm saying, until somebody makes a claim. You know what I mean? Somebody got to go to the court and file a claim on somebody. And I think what we have done is we've refused it. We've discontinued making the claim. There was a long history of us making the claim, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, a crime had been perpetrated and that, you know, there needed to be some justice. But integration has kind of made us feel like, you know, there's been a remedy issue. I guess integration for most blacks is considered the remedy. You know what I'm saying? Being able to have access to the dominant culture is the remedy, no longer being segregated. And so we no longer have been making the claim. And in the process, we don't realize that the institutions that were built, the long-standing institutions that were built, you know what I'm saying, on racist notions. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think even America itself, the dominant culture, has struggled with this transition from totalitarianism to what you would consider to be, you know, like liberalism. And I think the reason that is, you know, because what we oftentimes forget is that the early colonies, you know what I'm saying, when they came over here, it was under the British Crown, and the British Crown was a totalitarian system. You know what I'm saying? So we got, you know, 200 years of, you know, British-style politics where they are used to a king ruling over many people. And so the plantation division of labor and construction was sort of built like that. You know, slave master was like a quasi-king, you know what I'm saying? And it was peace because that's what that's what, I mean, Troy and D, and it was peace because that's kind of what they was used to. So he wasn't really objecting to that. They just started to object once they began to own property, earn resources, then they began to start questioning, do I want this one person telling me what the hell to do? You know what I'm saying? And then when you make this transition over into liberalism, you still got these totalitarian values, and I think they really haven't fully gotten rid of them because when you think about the institutions in America, there's still an element where there's this belief that there should be a dominant segment or person who dictates what the agenda is for the masses. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's important to note also, man. I want to bring you back in this conversation, and I want to ask you another question, man. I want to ask you another question, man. So hearing these statistics, you know what I'm saying, particularly about the increase in racial hate groups and, you know, seeing how they just respond to my man Obama, man, the question is, man, you know, do you think, you know, there's a systemic brainwashing program where they're trying to convince us, you know what I'm saying, that there are no problems, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, everything's hunky-dory?
Yeah, most definitely, and it's cool how you ask that question because that's what I was just thinking about in the thoughts I was formulating as you was building, and from my own experience now in school, I see how what white America wants and what white America desires is for us to just forget all about it. They want this great piece of painful history to be forgotten, to for us to just be like, oh, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? We got over it. It was long ago. That's what they want. And that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to happen. And that's always been the problem of America. You know, back in the 1800s, they called it the Negro problem. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Nowadays, I don't know what they call it, you know, but I bet it's some other little bootleg term they use. But
they call it the crime problem.
The crime problem, right? Because
because the black man is the criminal, you know.
Right, the criminal. So, yeah. So now they just want to just do us away, put us in prisons, and just try to forget all about it like that. Oh, so now we can see how even prison is like a psychological, a unconscious way to just try to remove us, to remove the painful reminder of what their ancestors done, you know,
sure.
So they won't have to deal with that situation. You know, maybe if we could just round them up, throw them all in prison, just try to kill them all, you know, just to try to suppress that reality. So, saying that, I say like in school, you know, that's what it is. You know, they just want us to go about the flow, forget about the past. Don't bring up the past. And like I say, that dominant culture, that hedge money, it kind of forces or coerces people into that belief. Because surprisingly, a lot of people, black people, don't know the details of the history. And not just antebellum, not just slavery, black Americans being enslaved, but going all the way back to our history when we was in Africa, you know. The greatness of our people and the many contributions we made. And so, in knowing that alone will spark that fire. You know what I'm saying? So when a guy like you or a guy like me began to speak about our greatness, you know, then they go, no, that's the past. That's the hedge money. You know, the collective accepted values by everybody to quiet it down. You know, so it's definitely and that may be a reaction. That may be that denial reaction from them not wanting to deal with history, deal with the past, or come to grips with it. Because,
you know, man,
can I add on? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, because you spoiled my thought. And I want to convey that. Because what you're saying is right. And when you come to brainwashing, you know, it's like they also create caricatures, man. You know what I'm saying? And see, what they do is they spoof people. They spoof you out. So it's like, okay, if you're in prison and, you know, you educate yourself, you're autodidactic. You know what I'm saying? You study.
That's right.
You get your own knowledge. They make you seem like you this, you know, that it's always attached to Islam. You this Muslim dude who using big words out of, you know, improperly and saying things out of context. Then they got the angry black man caricature, right? This the dude who, you know, he can't, you know, because you're passionate and you should be angry, but because you're angry and you speak in a certain tone, that in some kind of way diminishes your credibility. You know what I'm saying? Then they got the conspiracy theory caricature. That's the individual who challenges, you know what I'm saying, what the media, mainstream media, and what the institutions are trying to convey is the truth to him. He's saying, no, I'm going to do it in my own knowledge. Then they got you looking like you some kind of quack. Because you're saying, well, hold on, man. Maybe the government is complicit in selling drugs to blacks. Oh, there he go. And I think that's important, too, man, to understand that you got the dominant culture who have created these symbols, these caricatures, to make you be somewhat fearful, you see what I'm saying, to be identified in that way. You don't want to be seeming like you the angry black man or you the, you know, prisoner who's trying to do too much or the conspiracy theorist. You know what I'm saying? So that's another aspect to how they brainwash you, too, right? You know what I mean? They create these pariah characters, so to speak. You dig what I'm saying?
No doubt.
I think that's that's critical, man. That's critical. At all. That's critical, man.
It definitely is. And that in turn repels or keep people away from wanting to talk to that person or get enlightened by that person because of what they created. And going back to what you say, this brainwashing thing, me and you spoke about this before, resocialization, right?
Okay.
And how resocialization, do you think, well, this defining resocialization, we know that that is an institution, or what they call a total institution, that wants to change your way of thinking, change your value, you know, change your mentality, and cut the individual off from, you know, the society to basically install or control and regulate what this individual thinks. So could school in itself be a form of socialization or brainwashing to a degree for black people and whites of white supremacy? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
for those who self-educated, who hasn't received it and look at things totally different, being that dominant culture created that socialization, that brainwashing, now those who didn't receive or rejected that education got their own. Now they looked at as, you know, the angry black man, the radical, the, you know, the wannabe philosophy.
You know that in England, that in England they identified the American Revolution as the Great Rebellion? You know what I'm saying? Just think about the way that is characterized. You know what I'm saying? Over here they call it the American Revolution. In England, if you go to school, they call it the Great Rebellion. You know what I'm saying? So the perception of events is different based on, you know, your position in the event as it's taking place. You know what I'm saying? So for us, you know, we're going to look at slavery different than whites going to look at slavery. So how are we going to allow whites to determine for us how to perceive slavery when they didn't endure slavery? You know what I'm saying? That to me is where we have to begin our analysis. You know what I'm saying? We can't let them dictate to us how are we supposed to feel about our history, our 300-400 years of oppression. You know what I'm saying? And I think with their denial, they don't want to hear our side of the story. They don't want to hear how it affected us and how it's continued to affect us, how your drug wars have turned us into killers and drug dealers. You know what I'm saying? I just got the word that we got 90 seconds and it was just getting heated, man. Give a couple shout-outs, man. I want to say shout-out to all the brothers behind the wall, Prison Lives Matter. That's a new movement in the Virginia prison system. Brothers is banging. We need your support. Call Ms. K, RIHD.org. Check her out. She needs your support. We're trying to change this mass incarceration thing, free all political prisoners. Yo, man, hit me up on Ascari Johnson on Facebook, Sankofa Radio on Facebook. Sundiata, what you got, bro?
Peace. I want to say peace to all the man, woman, and child, the civilized people, peace to the babies. Everybody who listened to this show, stay in tune, support us, Operation Wake Up in Richmond, TrueSun7@gmail.com. Hit up my brother Ascari Donso, Sankofa Radio. Show support, man, and let's come together, unify. What's up,
man? As always, it's a pleasure, Sunday. I love you, bro. Stay strong, bro. You know I catch you on the other end, man. Freedom, justice, equality, man. Yahuru. To all my black people out there, fight, man. Freedom ain't free. If you don't fight for what you want, you deserve what you get, man. Hotel.
True fact. Hotel.